Paul writes, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The other day I was driving down the road and the car in front of me had a bumper sticker that simply said, "Look to the cross." And I actually appreciated the fact that I saw a bumper sticker that stated that. It made me pause, and I wondered how many people actually looked at the bumper sticker throughout the day and took the time to pause and think about it. Look to the cross. There are so many things that come to mind when we think about looking to the cross. Sometimes I feel that it's spoken too lightly. The things that surround the cross have become something that we don't contemplate or we don't think about it very much. It's one of those things that it's there. We see it on the peripheral of our lives all the time. Although it seems like our society and our mind have purged the very meaning of what the cross and the death of Jesus Christ was all about. So what I would like to do for just a few moments this morning is I would like to talk with you about some things that the Bible has to say that when I look to the cross that I should see. And hopefully we'll see these things, and the next time you look to the cross or see the cross, that these truths will come to you in your mind, that you may have a better standing of the cross of Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want to appreciate is the fact that when I look to the cross is that I see conviction and guilt. Crucifixion was a sentence based upon a conviction of guilt. The cross is the ultimate symbol of conviction. And when I see the cross of Christ, I see one who has been convicted. One who has been declared guilty. And so when I look at the cross, I cannot help but see guilt and conviction. Now we live in a society today where we don't wish to feel guilty. We don't want to feel guilty. Sometimes even among God's people, we don't want to hear any kind of preaching or any kind of teaching that makes us feel guilty. But I want you to appreciate that when I look to the cross, I cannot help but see guilt. Jesus was on the cross not because of a crime that He had done, not something that He should have been convicted of, but it was because I put Him there. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then back in verse 10, it says, "None is righteous. No, not one." You know, I look back in Bible days, and I think about the type of sermons that we preach today. It seems to me that most of the sermons that are preached today, or even the ones that I preach, tell folks how to be saved. But I look back in Bible days, and a lot of the sermons that were centered around convincing people that they were sinners. And maybe that's one of the reasons that we don't see very many people obeying the gospel today, is because we have not convinced them of the guilt of their own sin and what it does to an individual. You know, that's great to talk to one about how to be saved, but they've got to be convicted. They've got to understand that they're guilty of sin first. Because when I look to the cross, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot help but see the conviction, because the guilt of a crime. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 that we are all under sin. You know, and some people may say, "You know, Kevin, I hear these sermons and my toes are stepped on and I just don't feel very comfortable." Lord, hasten the day when sinners go in among God's people and hear sermons that don't make them feel comfortable. Because I've got to tell you, the cross of Jesus Christ, when I look upon it, is not supposed to give me some warm and fuzzy feeling. It tells me the price of my crime. It shows me conviction and guilt. Now, when I look at the cross, I cannot help but think about conviction and guilt. But also, I can't help but see execution and death. There is no greater place that I can see where folks have taken the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When I look to the cross, I should see execution and death. That's what I should see. But we wear it today as jewelry. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But you know, it's all pretty. It's nice and shiny. But can you imagine? Can you imagine going into the future and seeing someone wearing an electric chair around their neck? Or maybe a picture of a firing squad? Or lethal injection? Or something like that, and wearing it as jewelry? What do you think people would think about that? When I look to the cross, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to see that it is an instrument of execution. That someone was going to die. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 31, "And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." Today, it repels vampires. Where it's a nice little decoration on our graves. Or something nice to hang on the wall in our home to look at. But it ought to be, to you and I, as we look upon it, it should be a symbol of execution and death. Crucifixion was a form of execution reserved only for the dregs of society. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not die by execution because you were too good for it. It was for the lowest of the low. It was for the scummest of the scum. The lowest class in all society. They were the ones that were nailed to a tree. But we see where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Spirit of God never wanted us to forget the fact that when I look to the cross, I remind myself that it was a place of crucifixion. It is an instrument of execution. And so the next time I look to the cross, I need to see execution and death. I also want you to see a broken body and shed blood. Today it seems like people are all concerned about how humane an execution is. Have you noticed that? You know, we used to hang people. We used to hang people for their crimes. There used to be firing squads for people who committed heinous crimes. But you see, nobody wants to talk about the crimes that they committed. Let's not talk about that. They're more concerned about how the person is being executed rather than the people that they had killed, rather than the crimes that they had committed. But when I look upon the cross, I want you to see a broken body. And I want you to see shed blood. The cross was meant to humiliate. The cross was meant to torment. It was meant to torture. It was meant for suffering. And it was meant for blood to be shed. And there was a lot of bloodshed. Not only just simply hanging on the cross, but the preparation for hanging one upon a tree. Take your Bible and look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 20, or beginning in verse 15, and we'll read down to verse 20. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 15. "So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in purple, in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. When I look to the cross, I need to see blood. I need to see a body that has been pushed beyond the breaking point of life. I need to see somebody who had been beaten to a point that he was disfigured. Someone who cannot even bear the weight of his own cross. It's not a pretty picture. It's not something that we can look at and gaze at and marvel at as art. It's a gruesome scene. We see pictures today, we see pictures of our Savior's forehead and his hands and his feet. And there's just a little dribble of blood here and there, not too much. Almost like a few little bandages and a few little band-aids could take care of the problem. That's the art that we see. Ladies and gentlemen, they planted a crown of thorns around our Savior's head. And they took a big stick and then they struck it. And they hit him with a cat of nine tails, ripping into the skin and tearing it off the body. They called it the half death, because that's exactly what they did. They beat you half to death. Isaiah tells us that he was marred beyond being able to be recognized. And I want you to see there upon the cross that that's where his body was broken, and that's where his blood was shed. In John chapter 19, verse 34, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water." It was that shed blood that paid for my sins and your sins. I want you to see a broken body, and you've got to see the shed blood, because that's what the cross represented. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, "This is my body which is given for you." Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Where was the blood shed? It was shed on the cross. And when I see the cross, I see a broken body and I see shed blood. And I also can't help but see suffering. Look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his footsteps." And then in chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter writes and he says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for sin." It wasn't just simply his life that was offered. That wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for Jesus to just simply take a handful of sleeping pills and then go to sleep one evening and then just not wake up. That wasn't good enough. That's not what I see when I see the death upon the cross. When I look to the cross, I want you to understand that I see suffering. Suffering. And the Holy Spirit, through His Bible writers, constantly reminds us of the fact of the suffering of Jesus Christ. They didn't put a crown of thorns on His head. They didn't spit on him. They didn't strike him with a reed and scourge him for his comfort. It was meant to cause more pain and make the pain unbearable. And I look at the cross too lightly. When I look at the cross and that figure and I see it every day, and I don't remind myself of the suffering that that cross represents. But then I also see obedience. People look at the cross and they want to stop there. And if nothing else is learned, I want you to see this. When I look to the cross, I see the fullness of the expectation of the obedience to God. Paul writes in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there if you will. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even to the point of going to the cross, Jesus said, I will be obedient to my God. In the book of John, chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus had been praying in the Garden of Gethsemane three different times, Father, let this cup pass from me. And when Peter had taken out his sword in order for the Lord not to be taken to the cross, Jesus said, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? When I look to the cross, I cannot help but see obedience. And I see the ultimate example of you and I in regards to our obedience in our daily life as we live on this side of eternity for the Lord. Obedience. But also when I look to the cross, I want you to see also with obedience, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Again, obedience. But then I want you to see reconciliation and peace. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Well, how did he do that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, when I look to the cross, I don't see art. I don't see art. I don't see a prop utilized in movie to rebel vampires. I see reconciliation and peace. Because it was by the cross that Jesus Christ hung and brought reconciliation to you and your God. You have separated yourself from God because of your sin, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. And it took the cross of Jesus Christ to bring that peace back that you and I can have as we leave this building this very morning. I can lay my head down on my pillow at night. And when I lay my head down on my pillow, I can say, come what may, because I'm at peace. Why am I at peace? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So when I look to the cross, I see reconciliation of peace, but I also see a human sacrifice. Nothing can be more repulsive than shows that depict human sacrifices. And I'll tell you why. There's nothing more repulsive to me than seeing animal sacrifices. Have you ever seen people do animal sacrifices? It's a horrific scene. It is absolutely horrific. It's bloody. There's suffering. There is crying. If you're like me, you turn away and you just change the channel. You don't want to see it. It's simply something that you just don't want to see. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look to the cross, I want you to see a human sacrifice. Because that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And then Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." Jesus was a sacrifice. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, "But as it is, He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Ladies and gentlemen, when I look to the cross, I want you to see a human sacrifice. And then finally, when I look to the cross, I want you to see love. Love. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When I look to the cross, I see love. But I want to ask you a question this morning. And the question is this: what kind of nails holds the Son of God to a cross? What kind of nails holds the Son of God to a cross? Are they silver? Is it a wooden spike? Are they iron spikes that holds Him to the cross? I want you to understand that there are no nails. There are no nails that can hold Jesus Christ to a cross. But there is one thing that can. And that's love. That is the love He had for you and the love that He had for me was what kept Him on the cross. That I might not have to face the sentence of death because of my sin, but that He could pay it for us. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in the future, when I look to the cross, I want you to see conviction and guilt. I want you to understand the execution and death. I want you to see a broken body and shed blood. I want you to see suffering. I want you to see obedience. I want you to see the reconciliation and peace. And you've got to see a human sacrifice. And don't forget the love. Don't ever doubt the love of God. I'll tell you, I love each and every one of you here this morning. And I can imagine a time sacrificing myself for any one of you. I can see myself jumping in front of a bullet for many of you here. But I would not give those two little boys that sit over there, my sons, for any one of you. I'm sorry. I just couldn't do it. But if I could, you had better never doubt my love for you. You better never doubt it. So when I look to the cross, I see the love of God. If you're here this morning and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, I hope you can look at what we talked about this morning and see what Christ has done for you. How He suffered a horrible and brutal death on the cross. Took a beating so bad that He was disfigured for you. And He invites you to come to Him. He's given us the invitation to come to Him. And you read in Acts chapter 2, when those men, when Peter preached to them and they realized their sins and what they had done, and they said, "What can I do? What can I do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Ladies and gentlemen, if the very ones who put Jesus on the cross and killed Him could have their sins forgiven, none of us can say here this morning that we've done things in our life that God will not forgive us for. He'll forgive us. He will forgive us. If you have a need this morning, we ask that you don't wait, but make it known right now as together we stand and as we sing.
While we pray and while we plead, while you say your soul's deep need,